Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is Labor Day. We are live. It is a holiday. And we'll talk about that day in detail, the pros and cons, the good and the bad, the beauty and the ugly, if you will. But man, it's a beautiful, sunny day. I'm on the road and all kinds of stuff's going on today that's good. We've got some recommendations of things you ought to do on days like this, by the way, and a whole lot more on your radio. Quick recap of Saturday's show. We had Chris Carlson on the radio with us, who always says this, ladies and gentlemen, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt about that, reality check. Chris and Sam discussed the Great Reset, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about, quote, Prince Charles, who says we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. There needs to be a paradigm shift, and there's no time to waste. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is they want you to worship the creation. That's nature, or the earth, not the creator. That's God Almighty. They're trying to pit nature against God as they build a modern-day Tower of Babel. But relating to every single aspect of our lives is their agenda with this Great Reset, dishonest, tyrannical agenda they've got going, globally speaking. Their big stumbling block is the great United States, who believes in God, family, and country, and whose traditions have been the sacred cause of liberty. Klaus Schwab, from his book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, we need to build a new social contract. The world as we knew it in the early months of 2020 is no more, dissolved in the context of the pandemic. You got BC before Corona and AC now after Corona, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about the head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, or whatever his name is. We need to, quote, rebuild, redesign, reimagine, and rebalance our world. I don't even know how to say this wacko's name. Sometimes these people are amazing. Kristalina Georgieva, head of the IMF. This is a great opportunity for a reset. What's this guy's name? Emmanuel. What's his name? Rome Emmanuel. Never let a good crisis go to waste. We talked about Carol Quigley some as well. Bill Clinton's mentor predicted the world financial powers would seek to introduce a global financial power system, a new feudal system, if you will, a system that used to be based on the right of kings. Well, in the future, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be on the right of kings at all. It'll be based on Gaia worship, environmentalism. It'll be all about the new world order. Everyone will have an ESG score. That's environmental, social, and government score. It'll be like China's credit system. You don't believe in climate change, you're a bad guy and your credit score goes down. You don't accept the COVID jabs, the death shots. Well, you better start accepting the bioweapon COVID and the bioweapon, quote, anecdote, the shot, or else your credit score will go down. You talk like Sam Bushman, your credit score is absolutely in the tank. We talked about eight incredible predictions by these world monetary groups. They intend to change everything. You're not going to own anything, but you're going to love it, they claim. This is insanity, folks. That was hour one. Hour two, we continued the discussion, and we talked about total surveillance, vaccine passports, Cashless interactions will be facilitated by microchip implants, world currencies, human augmentation, cyborgs, if you will. Christian agency will be eliminated, ladies and gentlemen. The Jewish connection cannot be ignored. Why are all the leading drivers of the Great Reset Jewish? Now, don't misunderstand us. We're not saying your neighbor that happens to be Jewish is a bad guy. There's a lot of true religion in the Judaism viewpoint. In fact, we're a Judeo-Christian nation, to make the point. However, some of these elites at the top, though, have what you call a 2,000-year grudge. The Great Reset is a poorly veiled attempt to resettle that score when they killed Jesus Christ. We claim they missed the mark and Christ came. They claim we follow and worship a false Christ. Anyway, Dennis Prager highlights this Jewish revolutionary spirit. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, has a better plan for us, is the whole point. And we, the people, can turn to God Almighty. We can follow the Prince of Peace, and we will preserve this nation and win. Dr. Bradley, on this wonderful holiday, with that introduction, welcome to the broadcast, and I know you'll have plenty to say, sir.
You know, it's interesting when we come on board on these things, and you kind of regroup and revisit some of the previous subjects. It's kind of like, oh, I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to talk about, oh, we should talk about that. And before we know it, the hour would be gone with a rehashing of the last show and some of the issues that are coming through. I might just say one thing about this Jewish connection.
But I want to add this, though, really quick before you continue, Dr. Bradley. I want to highlight this. The reason that we bring it up with your commentary is because it turns out not to be a rehash. It turns out to be an incredible fleshing out of a topic in a very collegiate way. And so we do it on purpose because we believe sometimes in an hour or two, as you wisely mentioned all the time, there's just never enough time to really, really dig in and get to the bottom of topics. This lets us kind of add your commentary, your expertise, your historical relevance and knowledge on the topic. Anyway, that's why we do it, just so you kind of understand the method of the madness a little bit, sir.
Well, yeah, and I'm afraid it is madness to get me involved in some of these things, but the fact of the matter is, it's kind of like you go out on the lake on a boat, and you're trolling around with this lure or that lure, and here I am ready to bite at any lure that comes up. You know, I'm just one of those fish in the ocean that's waiting for something to come by to nibble on. So, there's so much that caught my attention on your rehash, and we ought to probably rehash the rehash at some points, but there are many that would probably take, and I didn't hear your discussion on Saturday about this Jewish reset thing, but I'm quite concerned that there are many either that want to denigrate the effort of freedom and say, oh, it's all anti-Semitic, they hate Jews, and oh my goodness, oh, ain't it awful, you know, they're all Nazis and all this kind of thing. And on the other hand, there are those out there that really are anti-Semitic and so on. And so they kind of feed on each other, and pretty soon everybody's throwing rocks through each other's windows and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, I would just say, I know plenty of really crappy Mormons and really crappy Catholics, really crappy Methodists and really crappy Masons. And I mean, I use the term guardedly because it sounds almost like a crude discussion. And just because there are some bad apples, bad actors, people that are whatever faith, that are, like I say, throwing rocks through people's windows, does not make a whole race or a whole religion or a whole ethnic group or whatever. It just shouldn't be done. However, anybody's, you know, if the group that's always looking for fault with you, say, Sam, they're always trying to cast stones at you and say, oh, man, look at that guy. This is another nail in the coffin. This guy, see, he's just showed his colors, how anti-Semitic he is. Well, the fact that I know you well, Sam, and I don't think that there's a racist or bigoted bone in your body, but when people take things out of context and they spin them, and it can be on either side of the argument, pretty soon there's a painting with a pretty broad brush, and it tends to build acrimony, it tends to build silos of you know, where people are bunkering up against each other, you know. And I think that I would just say, and again, I wasn't in the discussion on Saturday, so I don't know the drift of it at all. But your audience ought to understand, and whoever's trying to paint you with that broad brush ought to understand, my personal opinion of you is that you're not bigoted nor racist nor any of that kind of stuff. But the fact is, there are people of all races, people of all ethnic groups, people of all religions that really take and spin things in such a way that somebody else is going to say, oh, there's evidence that this person or this group is, just take the subject wrong now, anti-Semitic. And I think it's rather sad when people make broad, generalized statements, and some people on one side or the other of the argument take those things and make them into kind of a whole cloth that they create a whole image out of, and pretty soon people are denigrated that shouldn't be, and other people are building their, I don't know, it's kind of their argument. Oh, man, they're saying that the Jewish people
it's
are
their argument, Dr. Bradley, but it's also their whole persona oftentimes, and that's why I highlighted we are a Judeo-Christian country, because, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear, it's the exploitation of the Jewish religion. It's the exploitation of the Christian religion that has got us in so much trouble. We'll return and discuss this in more detail, because Dr. Bradley is absolutely spot on.
Come celebrate the supreme law of the land at Loving Liberty's Constitution Day Dinner. Have you ever asked yourself, what's so great about America? Find out with guest speakers Lawrence Reed from Atlanta and Jeff Utch from Tucson, Arizona. We will also be introducing our new podcast, Ask an Immigrant. Join us Saturday, September 17th at 7 p.m. located at Liberty Hall, 3677 North 2000 West, Far West, Utah. Get your tickets today at lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, we are live on Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation, is collegiate series and lifelong goal to match, available at freedomsrisingsun.com. And not only can you get the incredible to preserve the nation collegiate homeschooling series and more there, but you can also join the webinars that are weekly conducted by Dr. Bradley that are absolutely out of this world. Q&As on the Constitution, discussions of modern-day political topics. It's really TNT, ladies and gentlemen, today's news today. But put in the context of a constitutional to-preserve-the-nation reference point, viewpoint, complete understanding, bringing the founding fathers' expertise, knowledge, debates, and everything all together in a very educational series. It's weekly, it's interactive, and it's available at to-preserve-the-nation. That's the goal at freedomsrisingsun.com. freedomsrisingsun.com. The website is freedomsrisingsun.com. Anyway, I digress, but I wanted to give a big old shout out for that. So, Dr. Bradley, I interrupted only because of the break. You are spot on about this. And really, the whole point is, you know what? We're a Judeo-Christian country. And more has been done to destroy life, liberty, property. More has been done to destroy all that we hold dear by governments and the exploitation of one's religion. In the name of Judaism, we need to do this. In the name of Christianity, we need to do that. In the name of Islam, we need to do this or that. And it's those who exploit religion of any kind that become really, in my opinion, the enemy of us all. Not because of religious differences, not because of racial or ethnic differences, but because they hate liberty and they are exploiting good people and religion on the altar of their tyrannical agenda, sir. Your thoughts?
Sure. Two of the most passionately, we seem to be hardwired with a number of things. You know, a real man is hardwired to protect the female, okay? I mean, it's just the way it is. And all of the gender nonsense.
And it's the way it is, and it's the way it ought to be, by the way.
It is, true. And so this nonsense we do, where we do this flaky, destroying our combat readiness and our unit cohesiveness and everything with female integration into combat units and this transgenderism, blah, 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 blah. I just bring that up. There's hardwired things. The male, a real male, is hardwired to protect the female. And some other hardwired things that seem to be very central to our very existence is our beliefs about freedom. So our political beliefs, you might say. If you are a communist at heart, if you're a Nancy Pelosi or a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden, or, I mean, I could name a bunch of Republicans like Mitt Romney or Orrin Hatch or any of those kind of guys too, where they really truly do want to use the force of government to basically lord over people, they're passionate about that. Some of us are passionate about liberty. This gift of agency that I truly believe is God-given is hardwired in me, and I'm going to defend agency, which is liberty. And you can't have liberty truly without proper government. Too much government or too little government, you end up having tyranny of some level or flavor. The other thing is religion. And so I believe we're hardwired to worship. I think that it comes in our hearts. Some people worship the wisdom of man. That's the humanists. That's the false philosophy of a godless religion that is the national religion of America today. It's taught in our public education systems, and you get your higher degrees and wear the black robes in the university. All of those kinds of things that are going on. But religion is a passionate, your belief in God. That's why they say don't talk about religion or government or politics in family reunions. Well, that's because you've always got somebody that wants to take it off on a tangent and beat the snot out of somebody else that has a different opinion than them. So these kind of passionate kind of things are very, very easily captured and skewed by those that want to abuse, ultimately, that passion. So, I mean, Hitler's crew in Germany during World War II and before prayed to the God that they believed in. Oh, they're Lutherans. Oh, they must all be bad. No, they're not. I mean, the fact of the matter is that people play up this religious fervor. They took the Crusades. The Pope took the Crusades to the Middle East, out to Palestine, slaughtered countless numbers of people. It built an acrimony between the Muslims and, well, they weren't Muslim in those days. Well, yeah, they were. I mean, not completely, though. But this idea of Allah and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Christian God, if you will, or the Judean God, there's an acrimony that's built. And these things are played today. When we're involved in Syria, for example, it's a religious war. It is a religious war, and I sure wish there was time to talk about that, how we're being played as fools.
It is a religious war, but it's an exploitation of religion war.
It is indeed.
Because the religious people would truly be peaceful by nature. They all want to be left alone. They want to worship how, where, or what they may. They all want the same, basically the same things, Dr. Bradley. But when that gets exploited and manipulated and used as a divisive controlling mechanism, that is the quintessential problem.
It is. And that, I mean, right now, We are playing around in the sandbox over in the Middle East, and it's an acrimony that has as its basis the religion. Whether it's Sunni versus Shiite, or Jewish versus Sunni, or Jewish versus Shiite, or Christians that are helping Jews, or whatever's happening there, we are engaged in killing other people that don't even know why we're there. And really, if you ask the, oh, I'm there to serve and to save my nation, who? What risk? And you say, oh, well, the 9/11 thing happened. 9/11 would have never happened had there not been blowback on other previous problems. And we could talk about that at length. Almost everything, the people get sucked in on something, and the war becomes theirs because of their personal suffering. It's like, no, you guys don't have anything to do with this until somebody puts a spin on it, and suddenly it's your war. It's like what happened in the Odrang Valley in Vietnam. It wasn't an American war until we got a battalion mixed up with a couple other battalions of NVA in the Odrang Valley, and it became America's war. No, the GIs that were walking down that trail and spent a few days slugging it out with the NVA, it bloodied on both sides. It was amazing. I mean, it's an incredible thing. But what came out of that was the United States adopted that war as ours. And it really wasn't. But by our own suffering, we became invested in it. And that's what people play up on religion oftentimes. They get people whooped up about some religious schism someplace. I mean, and this is Marxist, by the way, in its whole origins. So Marx was astute on some things. I mean, it's kind of like obvious. I mean, how would you overlook it? But he always felt like there was supposed to be a conflict that you played up. This idea of not letting any kind of disaster pass without getting the full benefit out of it. Marx was a magnificent man against women, you know, labor against management, religion against religion, or race against race. All of these things, these acrimonious things, are played up, and who wins? The military-industrial complex, the New World Order. They're using
every time government becomes the benefactor of the Hegelian dialectic used against us all, and they do this generationally as well. You know, we still hear that there needs to be reparations for slavery, or we hear that there needs to be reparations for Germany and invading this country. Now they're talking about, Germany paying reparations or whatever. And they do it nation to nation. Any divide point they can find and exploit is their cause. Those who want tyranny, Doctor.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at what happened after World War One. Boy, that Versailles Treaty, we're going to stick it to these guys. I mean, the Germans were all at fault. No, wait a minute. Austria and Bosnia started slugging this out when they shot the Archduke, okay? And everybody started looking to their big brother. Austria looked to Germany as their big brother. Bosnia looked to Russia as their big brother. Pretty soon, all these entangling alliances, and we had a conflagration that filled the whole world. Well, okay, so now we're going to blame the whole thing on Germany. Germany ends up being basically put in the frying pan and in the fire, and they pour gas on it. What they did with that Versailles Treaty and the reparations, that led directly and unequivocally to World War II. It sowed the seeds and set the stage and the rise of, you know, those stupid fascists, goose-stepping fascists that came out of the beer hall pooches in 1920s and 30s, and pretty soon everybody's slugging it out again. And to tell you the truth, there has been so little Christianity in Christianity, or you look at some of these other religions that could look to their leader, if you will, to build a case for being able to live with their brothers and sisters on earth, and maybe by their example, if they're so sure of their religion, get them converted to their religion. I don't know. You don't have to use the sword to do it, for crying out loud.
But do it by patience. Do it by long-suffering. Do it by love unfeigned. Follow the Prince of Peace is the way I want to do it. But I want to preserve God, family, and country. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Tennessee heiress Eliza Fletcher's kidnapping early Friday morning has resulted in an arrest. A resident at her vigil on Fox News over the weekend.
And she's just a beautiful person, and it's just awful to see the evil that's in the world.
Police say they have video of the abduction, and they have arrested Cleota Abstin, who is not cooperating with police. His bail is set at $500,000, and the whereabouts of Ms. Fletcher is still unknown. Responding to President Biden's scathing assessment of Republicans last week, President Trump held a rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday.
But Philadelphia was a great choice because the city is being devastated under Democrat rule. Devastated. We love Pennsylvania. I went to school in Philadelphia. What's happening to Philadelphia? 14 people were shot last weekend in Philadelphia, 14.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490.
President Biden failed on another campaign promise made in August of 2020.
I promise you, as president, I'll never put you in the middle of politics or personal vendettas. I'll never use the military as a prop.
President Biden used the United States Marine Corps as a prop for his campaign scathing of Republicans last week in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania GOP gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano on Newsmax.
And we come in with Sleepy Joe giving a very dark, sinister speech, you know, painting his political adversaries as these enemies of the state, you know, bedecked with Marines behind him. That's probably a Hatch Act violation of some sort there. I didn't hear anything about China or Iran or about our energy crisis. It was all about trying to destroy his political foes.
So a man in Mississippi decides to steal a plane.
A man Mississippi police say notified them he was flying a plane and intended to crash it into a Walmart is now in police custody. After circling above remote areas for more than an hour, the plane crashed in a remote area with no casualties.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a quick side note per the bottom of the hour news. No crashing into Walmarts, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff, more and more we hear, is psychotic. When it comes to shooting people, no, unless it's self-preservation, protection of wives and children and families and loved ones and innocents. Violence, no. Exploitation of religions, no, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, Joe Biden, the unity guy, now is really fighting back and attacking people left and right. No to all this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. But religion is being exploited. Intergeneration, even generationally, it's being exploited. And we've got to see this for what it is and call a halt to that con game with education, Dr. Bradley, in a peaceful, productive sense.
Well, like I was saying earlier, the tendency is to take some of these passionate, hardwired feelings that we have and to somehow say, oh, we can spin this into something that will bring us the outcome we want, which like it might be the New World Order, the Great Reset. It might be some level of greater socialism or even destroying God in the country altogether. And so that's what happens is they build whomever's in charge, whether it's a religious leader or it's a political leader or whatever. Here's something that St. George Tucker said back in 1803. He talks about the personal claims of the sovereign. Let's say the sovereign is a religious leader, or it's a monarch. I don't care. You pick whatever leader you want to stuff in that terminology. The personal claims of the sovereign are confounded with the interests of the nation over which he presides, and his private grievances or complaints are transferred to the people who are thus made the victims of a quarrel in which they have no part until they become principals in it by their sufferings. So, you know, if you can get people all whipped
and or by their deceptions. A lot of times lies are told, false flags are conducted, etc., etc. If the people are slow to anger, slow to war, as we would teach us to be, then they will do something to change the narrative by deception to draw us into. In hindsight, when you look back at it, you go, whoa, we shouldn't have believed in that lie or believed in that narrative. And I'll give you an example. George Bush did this very clearly when he said, hey, you know what? They've got weapons of mass destruction over there. You guys have got to come on board with this. See, that's that deception, manipulation, propaganda we're talking about that draws us into and makes us principals. So it's either suffering or deception that draws us into these kind of, in my opinion, divisions that are exploited, intentionally so, for a tyrannical agenda or for an agenda that we the people, if we saw the clear, plain reality of it, in other words, the whole picture, we would never, ever go for it, Doctor.
You know, it's interesting, and we can look at times when there were clearer heads, where wisdom prevailed. I mean, you look back at the Chesapeake affair during the Jefferson administration. There was a British warship involved, and yeah, it was an act of war. Everybody started pounding the war drums, and we, you know, Jefferson, take us to war. And he said, no, it's not my job. You know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 says it's the Congress' job. Congress wasn't meeting at the time. Let's get them together. Let's gather the facts. Let's take some defensive action to make sure that further injustice is not done and so on. But I'm not taking the nation to war. Jefferson did just that, and cooler heads prevailed. We didn't go to war. It's a good thing too. We weren't ready for it. They would have whooped our tails and taken us back under everything. We would have been colonies again. But the fact of the matter is, not today. And we believe false narratives. I'm sitting here. I looking at the 9/11 Commission report. Holy Hannah! If you believe that Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny are your buddies, I mean, this stuff that we bring out about it. This 9/11 incident, we no more have publicized the full truth on that than fly. And we are still laboring under, and we're involved, we've invaded, we're killing thousands of Americans, we're killing hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East because of the false narrative that's there. But who keeps winning? The New World Order and the military-industrial complex. It's one of those things where we just get sucker punched on every single turn. And it's something that we've got to pay more attention. Quit worrying so much about
the latest. And a lot of times, it's the propaganda of the mainstream press. You know, our founding fathers warned us of these massive corporations and warned us of this, you know, massive march to labor and unions and, you know, these kind of things. They didn't believe in this ultimate control. They believed in individuals who owned their own small businesses, who were entrepreneurs and farmers, and they were close to the earth, and they had a whole different viewpoint on the affairs of individuals, families, and the nation at large, Dr. Bradley. And I think because of these huge corporations, they control the complete narrative. There's only a few lone voices out there like ours to throw any opposition to it or throw a different viewpoint I would call the true narrative. There's only a few truth tellers amongst us these days.
If people can't see the biases, you know, and I'll say, yeah, I've got a bias. I've got a bias for liberty and proper government. I've got a bias to God. I've got a bias to my family. I've got a bias to my fellow man. And hopefully people can tell from the discussion so far today, I have empathy and sympathy for people in other countries. These poor little, waifs in many instances, the very young and the very older who dies first. When we take out a national grid like in Iraq, hundreds of thousands of children, hundreds of thousands of older people, their systems are not able to take, you know, water that's not purified because you've taken out the water purification programs or the raw sewage that's now not cared for. It's astounding what happens. I have empathy and sympathy for those people every bit as much as a child in our country. And to me, it's ungodly, it's atrocious, it's absolutely abominable what we're doing around the world right now. And I'm just using war as an example. But the fact of the matter is, we We the people need to pay more attention. We need to think beyond the end of our nose. Connect the dots, people. If we can't see when we're being sucker punched, you know, back when I was in high school, which was a long time ago, people will say, you don't remember high school. Yeah, I kind of do. And we'd have those pep rallies, you know, fight, win, kill, all this kind of stuff, going into a football game, whatever. And you know what? The kids we were playing against were kids just like us. You know, the young men on the opposite team that we might be butting heads with on the field, they went to church in their local congregation. The little girls, and they're little girls. When you're in high school, you're a little girl, you know, or a little boy. I hate to tell you people, but you're kids. Hardly out of the area and time when you might cross the street alone without holding somebody's hand. And yet they try and whip everybody into a frenzy. And it used to just astound me. I'd step back away from the rally and say, what the heck are we doing? They're people just like us. They say, oh, it's all in fun. You know, be true to your colors and your school and all this kind of nonsense. Really? Really? What they're doing, I mean, think of gang colors. How different is that? And you look at
what about being true to my God and to my family and to my country? How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, it used to just absolutely astound me that you could get everybody whooping together and jumping up and down and doing the wave and foaming at the mouth and everything. All of the fights that happened after a football game or a basketball game, and it's like, are you kidding me? This really isn't one of these drop-dead important events in anybody's life, but whipped you to that. And that's what we do with 9/11 events, in spite of the fact that it's a completely choreographed outcome that has been well thought through. You know, the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had over there. Really? We didn't find one. That guy couldn't get a Piper Cub off the ground without us shooting it down. And it's this great threat. Well, it migrates over time. It comes to our shores. There's blowback. People end up paying the price for the falsehoods that we believe. And we've got to start paying attention and start looking at the truth. It astounds me that people don't take things to God as much as they take them to their local newscaster. Holy cow. The COVID nonsense? Holy cow. We could talk for hours about how we were whooped into a frenzy over a nothing burger. And I just can't hardly believe how easily manipulated we are in a society where we become addicted to technology and technocrats and everything. You know, if we rewrite the Constitution, which there's a huge movement to do, the technocrats will probably run things. And that's, you know, you want Bill Gates to do that? Or Jeff Bezos, or
not on your life. We not only take things to the media that we should be taking to God, but we also take things to the public square or to the blogosphere or the social media that we ought to be taking to our families, to our husbands and wives, to our mothers and fathers, to our brothers and sisters. In a meaningful way, we can make a difference there as well. Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Final segment in seconds with the good Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Back to the great divide on every fault line possible by those who want to promote and focus on tyranny. They exploit all situations. They take things to the extreme. And in that, then, they create divide, hatred, mistrust, divisive propaganda that absolutely betrays everyone, whether it's religion, sex, ethnicities, race, age, generationally. They don't care. Whatever divide serves their purposes just fine. Dr. Bradley, on Labor Day, because we are live for Labor Day, I want to get this in. The same thing's done with the workforce. You know, you've got the private small business owner versus big business. You've got the employee versus employer. And they exploit that to the nth degree. They've done this for literally generations since the beginning of time, where they literally then create, you know, blocks of employees that then take down the employer. Unions, forced unionism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, and it's just this communist manifesto in our face, whether it's socialism or communism. All these roads lead to the same place, Doctor.
Indeed, they do. This idea of conflict, it's not conflict management, it's encouragement. I mean, you look at this Labor Day kind of thing here, and even Labor Day. Okay, Labor Day. Oh, labor and management, that's it. There's a connection to communism there, too. It's interesting, by the way, May Day is a big communist, brouhaha, get-together kind of thing. May Day, May 1st, 1776, is when the Illuminati was founded in Bavaria. And it is kind of like they're the modern communists. I believe there were ancient communists, too, and we could talk about that at some length. But the fact of the matter is that the Illuminists became, you know, the principal movers in the French Revolution, and then they became the League of Just Men later on in the early 1800s. They changed their name to the communist thing. But the May Day things that go on in communist countries are really a celebration of the founding of the Illuminati and their originators, if you will, in modern times. Well, back in the middle of the 1800s, there was a big kind of argument. Do we, as labor, these communist kind of movements, do we push for a big holiday May 1st, or do we push for one somewhere later so that, labor gets recognized? And it really was tied into a communist movement. And the origins are rarely, if ever, discussed anymore. But this idea of labor and management, how they're in conflict. Wait. Stop for just a minute. What is one of the most natural, most synergistic, best unions of effort would be labor and management. They both succeed. You keep your job and management makes money or whatever they're in business for. Men and women, don't make a fight over things. You get a synergistic movement going with a husband and wife, they're unbeatable. You look at anything that are natural, synergistic partnerships, if you will, and somebody's always trying to drive a wedge in there. And I just am blown away.
And these partnerships, Doctor, are meant to be complementary, not adversarial. And right. You look at Labor Day and labor and stuff. There's a way, the pie, if you believe in the free market, ladies and gentlemen, the pie is plenty big enough. And you know what? By hard work, ingenuity, prayer, put all that together, and the pie can get bigger. It's not a finite pie, Doctor.
Well, you think about it for a minute. The ACLU or the what? Just give me some of the union, the Teamsters or whatever. Those guys drive trucks provided by management, let's just say, okay? I mean, it's like, why should we hate each other's guts? Well, that's so you can build a schism that shifts power, causes conflict, and ultimately and finally disrupts a synergistic program that should be very successful. And with some kind of cooperation between each other, we can all win. You know, you talk about a pie. It's not a win-lose kind of situation. Everybody can win this thing. And that's kind of the way it is. That's the way it was designed by the American Founding Fathers when they talked about the idea of a more perfect union and the idea of the welfare, you know, the general welfare. That had nothing whatsoever to do with redistributing wealth and the conflict. No, everybody's in this together. I mean, George Washington talked about us with slight shades of difference. We're very similar. We really are. I mean, whether it's our religion or our beliefs or anything like that, we're in this together. And what's happening today, it's just astounding to me how many people absolutely hate the other half of the nation. You know, here's what Washington said. The name of American, which belongs to you in our national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have in a common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts of common dangers, sufferings, and success. Hey, guys, we're in this together. And you know, you hear the war drums beating, whether it's to go against another country or to go against some regional antipathy here. Somebody wants to, you know, take away your birthday. I don't care. People are just, they're egged on to a fight where there really shouldn't be a fight. And usually, I believe, let's just take the Mexican War, for example. I mean, I'm all over the place, I know. But that was an unjust war that should never have happened. And I think God was mad at the United States over that. I think it was one of the principal reasons that God said, it's time for you guys to have a comeuppance in the Civil War. Because you guys have done a lot of really stupid things that are in my face, and I'm not going to put up with it. The nation was going to be chastened. The United States was in negotiations with Mexico to obtain what they ultimately ended up with, really. And they were going to pay gold for it. And they ultimately paid gold for it. And the Mexicans were reluctant to do it, not because it was a bad deal, but because they didn't think that the next government, which happened regularly in Mexico, the revolutionary forces gained power, and ultimately the communists in Mexico kind of held the reins. But at any rate, the point was, no, it's a good deal for the United States and for Mexico. But the Mexicans were afraid the next revolutionary government that came in wouldn't honor it. They needed to work through that. If we had negotiated a few more weeks, we could have avoided the deaths of 18,000 Americans and 20,000 or 22,000 Mexicans. It was so stupid. But everybody had to have it right now. We're going to do this. You know, and it's like, no, it's we had a little more diplomacy. We'll work this out. It'll be fine. We ended up paying the gold for the land that was already on the table. It was almost identical with the agreement we had. But 18,000 Americans and 22,000 Mexicans had to die. 40,000 deaths. How do you think God feels about that? I think that was one of the principal reasons. One, there was multiple, by the way, of why we had the so-called American Civil War. I think.
And ladies and gentlemen, I pray we don't go to war in America, whether it be with other nations. We're on the brink of inserting ourselves in the middle of the Ukraine-Russian war. I know we've put a lot of money and time and effort and backed different sides. I pray we get out of it. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. I pray we back down from that, follow the Prince of Peace, avoid foreign entanglements, as our founding fathers and George Washington, one of the greatest generals ever known, indicated we should. We should, have peaceful relations with all. We should have economy with all. but we should have alliances and foreign entanglements. You know, we should really avoid those like the plague. You know, this is what we need to do. And when it comes to the economy and Labor Day, as we kind of wrap up, look, that pie is not just a cast pie of a certain size. The harder we work, the more we love, the more we work together, the more we prosper, the more we relate to other nations in a meaningful, productive, safe way, the more that pie can grow. Okay, that pie is not a finite size. And so everyone can win if we are not greedy, if we do not let government insert guidelines and rules and mechanisms to pull the lever in favor of one at the expense of others, etc. I can go on and on. But I want you to understand the great divide right now is labor versus employment, employer. And the other great divide is, again, between the Republicans and the Democrats. Neither divide has any value in the great republic in which we should all come together to have peace and prosperity, Doctor.
Okay, every time we have some little hiccup in the country, I can't tell you, probably get the same thing, these same emails I do. Somebody said, oh, you got to send me money. I'll help get rid of this problem. You know, whether it's the United Nations Treaty on Small Arms, that can't kill the Second Amendment. It cannot kill the Second Amendment, unless we act like it can. But every time it raises its ugly little head, everybody that's in favor of the right to keep bear arms sends me emails and send me $20 and I'll make sure that we still keep our right to keep bear arms. Everybody uses it for a beneficial thing for their own little fiefdom that they've got, you know. And it's like, holy Hannah, it's become a mercenary kind of approach to things. And we've got to start looking at a bigger picture. And I think the God that we worship is a big picture. I don't know if you can get any bigger. The whole universe is in his hands. And he created this land of liberty. He created this world. He created all the people on the earth and all the things that are there, whether they're plants or animals or in the sky, the moon, the stars, whatever. And he is really, it's a system, it's his. And he really knows how best to run things. And if we had a little bit more tapping into that wisdom, I think we'd have a whole lot less of the mess that we've got on our hands right now. It's just astounding to me how we seem to be bent on taking the saddest, most difficult path. I mean, it's like, holy cow. There is a pleasant path, and we can travel it. But, nah, I'm going to try something else. Nah, are you kidding me? I know better than God. I mean, that's kind of the attitude we have. And it's a sad scenario that we allow ourselves to be put into, and media whoops it up, and even some religionists. I mean, different sectarian people. I mean, there are many that want to take us to war on behalf of one country or another around the world. And it's like, no, wait. There is a process, and deliberativeness, and justice all has to enter into this thing. And we launched
Tomahawk
missiles.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear, because we're about out of time. Sorry to interrupt, Dr. Bradley.
That's okay.
But I want to say this before we end. You know what? The Prince of Peace is who we follow. And you know what? Let's not exploit any of these divide lines. Let's not go extreme. Let's not be bipolar. Let's not divide and conquer. Let's not divide and destroy. Let's not let, you know, whatever go to waste and crisis. And let's step back and say we have a plan. It's called God, Family, and Country. We have a plan. It is to protect life, liberty, and property. We believe looking to God rather than government is the answer. We believe following the Prince of Peace is the solution. We believe that the United States was built upon these principles articulated and codified in the supreme law of our land, the Constitution for the United States of America. It is the greatest document on the earth devised by man to balance and create the proper rule of government for the safety of us all. Let's look to the right sources for solutions, ladies and gentlemen, and let's spend our time on Labor Day in pursuits that establish what we believe in and return to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.